This is Dairy Radio Now, a rundown of the latest dairy news across America with Bill Baker.
President Trump says he wants to give the American people a giant tax cut for Christmas. As Republicans are on the verge of tax reform, joining us to look more into this tax overhaul and what it might mean for the dairy industry is Gary Ginsky, a CPA for dairy farmers with Ginsky Mulder & Company and also treasurer of the National Dairy Producers Organization. Gary, thanks for joining us. What are these new tax changes all about?
The new changes are all about tax simplification and bringing business back to America. There is some moderate tax cuts for dairy farmers. I'll consider this bill for the vast majority of dairy farmers to be somewhat tax neutral. Many of the provisions here to cut individual tax rates, increase depreciation, and code section 199 deductions are all wonderful, but if you're not receiving a milk price to create a taxable income in the first place, then, like I say, all of this is neutral. Many of these things, yeah, they needed to be changed. There are far too many regulations, and this truly, in my view, is a tax simplification bill going forward.
So how should dairy farmers be prepared for these new tax changes?
You've been working with dairy farmers a long time, and dairy farmers have the ability to defer income for a whole lifetime. All of the corporations on the listed exchanges have a line item on their balance sheet on the liability side called deferred income taxes in the billions. So here now, dairy farmers have their ability to defer income as well, and they do year-end tax planning to minimize their income taxes, say to keep them in the lowest brackets, because if they make a taxable income this year and lose money next year, they have the ability to average out their income to try to keep things in lower brackets. And if they have a big bonus year, like we've had one out of the last 10 in 2014, most dairymen made a very good profit because China bought a year and a half supply of powder, essentially. Then they have the ability to smooth that income out over a lot of years.
The tax code's been overwhelming. Could you give us some bullet points about what's included in this new reform?
Let's see. The Tax Cut and Jobs Act under the Senate bill, slightly different from the House bill, where under the House bill, a married couple would be in a 12% tax bracket all the way up to $90,000 of income. And the Senate bill, the 12% bracket stops at $77,000. So the average income in America is roughly $75,000. Everybody's going to have a rate reduction. And then on top of it, the standard deduction has gone up from about $12,000. It's doubled to $24,000. So the first $24,000 of anybody's income is tax-free. And it eliminates a lot of special deductions and exemption credits and all that sort of thing. And if you eliminate the exemption part of the code, you just simply do away with probably hundreds of pages of who qualifies as dependents and who doesn't.
So with a limitation on itemized deductions going forward, what should dairy farmers do now?
I'd recommend for everybody, if you're making house payments or if you're paying property tax bills or state income tax payments, to get those in December this year and get a deduction. Next year, they'll either be severely limited or eliminated completely. Pay your house payment soon enough to get that interest put on your 1098 form from the bank. If you send it in too late, it won't end up on the form.
What about dairy operations that are in partnerships?
There is a new pass-through tax being considered on partnerships and S-Corps, pass-through entity tax rate at 15%. That will provide a huge planning opportunity for dairies that are currently operating in a form of a general partnership, that a 15% rate is very palatable instead of having that income pass through onto their individual returns and maybe taxed at a much higher rate. So there's much talk about that tax being added where we've never had a tax on pass-through entities before.
Another big provision we keep hearing about is the estate tax.
By 2025, there will be, under the House bill, there will be no estate tax. However, under both bills, the individual $5 million will go up to $10 million. Now, the fallout, the states are going to begin considering an estate tax. In California, for example, is actively pursuing at the state level.
So I hear both the House and Senate agree to a 100% write-off of purchase of new equipment. What, bonus depreciation?
That's wonderful. In fact, the 100% write-off, we did have a provision for a brief time in the past about this 100% write-off provision, but they're both talking House and Senate both planning to bring it back, which means if you built a whole new dairy, you could write the whole dairy off. I mean, if you spent $10 million to build a brand new dairy, the bills are likely to allow you to write the entire $10 million off at one time. Of course, you can opt out of the bonus depreciation if you don't wish to take it. Now, the problem is, if you have a large deduction like that on your federal return, a lot of states do not go along with that kind of a accelerated depreciation. So you may end up with large taxable income on state returns and nothing on the federal. And there is the code section 179, which is a smaller depreciation benefit. Again, the feds want to double that amount, but then there's no state benefits there either. But you almost don't need code section 179 if you have the big bonus depreciation. One of the things also being talked in tax reform is the business interest expense deduction is going to be limited as well as a potential for interest itemized deductions on home mortgages may end up being limited in some way, if not eliminated altogether.
One thing we keep hearing about is code section 199. Can you explain that?
A deduction that is called the Domestic Production Activities Deduction. The DPAD is what it's called. Well, dairy farms produce milk, but when you go through the calculation for the deduction, you have to have a higher labor cost than what dairies have in relation to the income. So it doesn't work at the dairy farm level. However, it does calculate in a positive way for dairy farmers at their co-ops. Co-ops hire a lot of people and they manufacture, they buy raw milk and make products from raw milk. With a lot of labor, they do qualify for a code section 199 deduction. And regarding co-ops, any tax attributes earned in a co-op are passed through to all patrons, which means that if a co-op makes money, it passes that income to all of its members and theoretically does not pay income tax at the co-op level. So this calculation of code section 199, if the co-op's not paying tax, it's allowed to pass that deduction through to all of its members. Now, my 2,000 cow dairy has been getting $200,000 deductions from Dairy Farmers of America. This code section is about to end under current discussions in both House and Senate, and even President Trump. But do I care? In the big picture, I don't care because code section 199 was designed to increase manufacturing in the United States. Well, Congress is looking at reducing the overall corporate tax rate to 20% from its current 35% to bring jobs back in America. So it would seem that 199, code section 199, is not necessary if the tax rates truly do bring all the jobs back, manufacturing included, jobs back into America. So I can see in the big picture why code section 199 will be eliminated is because what they gave up in tax benefits here, they are now transitioning to a cheaper tax rate for all pass-through businesses and for corporate tax rates as well.
And Gary, along with being a CPA, you're also board member, treasurer of the National Dairy Producers Organization. What's your message to the dairy industry when we talk about tax reform as far as NDPO's stance?
With regard to dairy farms, if you're not making a profit because of low milk prices, then all of these tax changes are of little benefit. And we at NDPO talk about all the time our plans that ought to be engaged at the co-op level to help increase the milk price at the producer level so that we would all have to worry about these tax law changes and how they affect all of us. Thankfully, on our dairy, we did acquire a minimum-maximum contract to at least establish a floor. But we're looking at where the vast majority of dairies were barely breaking even in 2017. Of course, some do a lot better than others, but on average, our dairy producing infrastructure is going to continue to decline, and we're going to become more dependent on imports if we keep running agriculture out of business. It looks like our milk prices are going to be a dollar a hundredweight less in 2018 than in 2017, if you take a look at the way the futures are aligning for all of the year of 2018. And I don't see any help on the horizon with mass amounts of production increases just about everywhere in the world. So we're outproducing profitable demand, so we're going to end up suffering for it in the price unless we can start limiting the production straight across the board for all producers in this country and not have one of these notions that I'm okay because I'll be the last guy standing and producing milk in this country. How's that philosophy working for agriculture?
Well, Gary, we're out of time. There's plenty more to discuss regarding this tax overhaul, as President Trump saying this week that he wants to give the American people a giant tax cut for Christmas.
You know what? I would hope it's a Christmas present because, again, it's touted as tax reduction. Now, we're going to lose tax deductions, so how much it's going to help to make it classify as a Christmas present yet remains to be seen. So I guess we'll see, huh?
Yes, to be continued, Gary Genske, a CPA for dairy farmers with Genske Mulder & Company, and also treasurer of the National Dairy Producers Organization. Stay with us for the latest news from the dairy industry. I'm Bill Baker, Dairy Radio Now.